Ladies and gentlemen, a leaked document from the Chinese Communist Party has indicated that there are food shortages commencing in China and that people need to stock up on 3 to 6 months worth of food. I'll come back to that in a bit because right now, a new document has just been released as well from the Trump administration, from the DHS and FEMA and the Department of Health, indicating as well that just as the UN was warning we'd be entering global food shortages, that the US is due to experience imminent food shortages, and folks are going to be unable to go to the grocery store and buy food. That's where we are now. It's that late in the game. This is by far the most important broadcast that I've ever done, and please help me spread the word about this. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Channel, and it's now, folks. It's go time. This document was obtained by Yahoo News, despite assurances, even as recently as last week, by USDA Chief Sonny Perdue, who said, "I want to assure you that our food supply chain is sound. No need to panic. Everything's fine." We've heard these words from the government before. Generally, when things are about to break down and they're trying to just keep people at bay for a couple more minutes to buy time. But from the article, that, however, could change if the people who make, package, and deliver food lack PPEs, including face masks and gloves, according to this internal document shared with Yahoo News, which provides a daily virus update. Down here, the document, which is entitled Senior Leadership Brief COVID-19, dated April 2nd, bears the seals of FEMA, DHS, and the Department of Health. It contains a brief description of findings made by the Food Supply Chain Task Force. There is a task force within the COVID response team explicitly focusing on how to keep food moving. We've talked about that before. But now, within this briefing, we see a timeline to food shortages. How quickly this could play out, and it is staggering, ladies and gentlemen. We could experience, if we have shortages of masks, commodity impacts, shortages of milk within 24 hours, shortages of fresh fruits and vegetables within days. Document estimates also that meat, poultry, seafood, and eggs would become scarce within mere 2 to 4 weeks. And dry goods and processed foods inventories, that's non-perishables, grains, rice, pasta, everything, could become scarce as soon as 4 weeks as a mask shortage affected workers. These actually could be initiated by other things that the supply chain is shutting down in a number of ways, and PPEs are just one thing that could be kicking it off. The document concludes that medical professionals should, of course, be the first to receive PPEs, but food is kind of a big deal, too. Yeah, you don't say. It doesn't matter how healthy you are. If you can't eat food, you're going to lose your health real quick. And so we're seeing egg shortages that are already beginning, egg rationing, milk rationing. This is going live right now in the United States. But I want to step back, because it was only days ago that the United Nations finally echoed my own warnings and said, we're going to be experiencing global food shortages, and they blamed the virus. They said that that's going to be experienced within April to May, which jives with the timeline we just read. If there's a shortage happening now, then we're going to be seeing those come to fruition within days to weeks. April to May timeline is where we are. It's now. It's immediate. Reports from China, as I said, also have a document that was leaked from the CCP coming out and saying, I mean, I can't read this, but reports are that the document indicates that there are going to be food shortages, that they've been trying to get people to not panic buy, but that gradually we need to introduce this idea that people should be urgently stocking up for 3 to 6 months worth of food and daily necessities. It's a lot of food to try and urgently get if you've not been preparing already. And there's no way, just to make it abundantly clear if it's not already, there's no way that our supply chain, which is already in shambles, can tolerate that kind of a shock, can in any way endure everyone in the world trying to suck down 6 months worth of food. It's just not there. It's never there for that kind of an immediate demand. So so it's ridiculous to say that we should urgently stock up billions of people on 6 months of food. But here are the pictures that are coming out of China right now. People are not believing their government when they say, don't worry, we've got a year's worth of food and oil. And so they've gone out, they have lost that trust, just as we saw people panic buying toilet paper, just as you, in a financial crisis, see people rushing to the banks to pull whatever money they can get out. Right now, in China, this is happening with food. They're rushing to the stores, finding these empty bins where there's supposed to be ample rice for you to buy. And this is where we are now. Wholesalers are lining up in front of the grain reserves so that they can get more rice to bring to their retail consumers, which have been rushing them and buying all of their food, all of their inventory. So they have run out of stock. Now, some of the coverage on this has come out of the Epoch Times. They've got a few great reports. Panic buying erupting across China, which is prompting food shortage concerns. On March 31st, the Market Regulation Bureau said, people don't need to buy supplies. There's no need to panic. We've got abundant rice and oil for at least a year now. Like I said, they're trying to stall this panic buying and keep things. Please, on March 31st, please stop buying everything. We're not gonna be able to tolerate an immediate drawdown if everyone tries to panic buy at once. These are just rumors. Don't worry about it. But as I said, now those shelves are emptying out, and people don't buy it. They see the empty shelves. They want their food now. We know that China can't produce enough food. In fact, I did a report. China can't feed itself. This was a report several months ago about how China is unable to produce enough food domestically to feed their people. And so naturally, they import $150 billion of food every year to make up that gap. But as countries are noticing this global food shortage, as the UN issues their warning that we're going to have global food scarcity, countries have started locking down. They're stopping their exports. We saw Vietnam stop exporting rice. They're the number four producer and exporter of rice in the world. So these are major players, major providers of food that the rest of the world eats, are shutting their doors. And that means that this is now a certainty that we are entering global food shortages. And this is being seen even in Vice, right? Even in liberal publications like this. Well, China may have beaten the virus, but now they're facing a food crisis. And I weep when I read some of the comments on this, like, haha, China's getting what it deserves. Folks, we are behind them on the timeline, but this is everywhere. This is coming here right now. People are warning, as we just saw, the government is actively preparing for this, telling us the timeline in weeks that we have before dairy and meat and eggs and then fruit and vegetables and even the dry grains run out. A timeline of weeks. Hong Kong is also risking a shortage of food because China has stopped sending them supplies out the door. Central ministers in Pakistan are warning. It's the same story around the world. Don't worry, we got plenty of food. There's not going to be a food shortage. Please stop the panic buying. Please stop withdrawing your cash from the bank. And it's just heartbreaking to watch this play out. We've expected it, but to see it in reality, it's always different when you experience it than when you intellectually know it's coming. It's not the same. So stepping back now, how could this be happening? How, you might wonder, oh, we've got so much food in the United States. This could never happen here. This guy is a YouTube idiot. Look at what's going on right now and remind yourself that we've come out of these years of terrible crop losses in an intense solar minimum. We see right now milk being dumped out from milk producers around the United States because the plants can't keep up with the bottling. They can't handle all of the input because they have processing plants being shut down. They have workers that are calling in sick. And for that reason, dairies across the U.S. have been dumping their milk. And that's happening, just to be very clear, even as consumers are being rationed, even as we are unable, the demand is still there, even as retail stores are putting limits on how much milk you can walk out of the store and how much butter you can take home, the supply side is being killed off. So we're being attacked on both sides here. And that's just the story with dairy. We just shared this note from Top Knot yesterday, who says, I can't find anyone to process my beef. There's no way this beef is going to get to market, and there will be beef shortages as a result immediately. And then more concerning, long-term, we're going to get out of the cattle business. Those of us that aren't bankrupted by the fact that there's no market right now are probably going to shift our business model to something we can get money for, because we can't get money for beef right now. So dairy is being shut down. Beef is being shut down. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it takes years if you're starting up a new cattle operation to start up a herd, right? It takes a year to have one baby cow, which is what you need to start that cow producing milk. I mean, you can't spin these things up back overnight. So if we see massive waves of bankruptcies, as we will when dairy producers are being forced to dump their milk down the drain, and when there's no market for livestock, then these folks are going to, ranchers and dairy producers, are going to go out of business, and you can't just replace them overnight. And I don't know where you think you're going to get your milk or your beef in the next few years, because it's not going to be coming from the same places it's been coming from. They're shut down, and they're being forced out of the market. And clearly, it's not just Top Knot. It's everyone. You know, we've seen stories from meatpacking plants across the U.S. that are shutting down. Here's one in Greeley, one of the JBS plants. There are three JBS plants that are completely shut down. Those are the biggest meatpackers in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Grand Island is shut down already. And at the same time as packers are shutting down in the U.S., we're still, now, suddenly, we've imported beef from Brazil. We've gotten rid of the country of origin labeling. This is a concerted effort to kill off all U.S. production. And, of course, it's not just in the U.S. In New Zealand, we saw that butchers were stocking up before the quarantines because people were coming to buy meat. But then somehow they were not designated in emergency critical infrastructure. And so butchers have had to shut down, resulting in millions of dollars of meat now needing to be thrown away. This is just like the dairy dumping their milk. This is very sad to see. And of course, people aren't able to buy this meat on the flip side of this. So consumers are being rationed, suppliers are being shut down, producers are being shut down. And this is just a devastation. It's just devastating to see. Pork, same story. Do we need to keep going down this list? Pork, we know we lost 2/3 of the pigs in China last year. It was 1/3 of the pigs on the planet that were culled due to African swine fever. There are same sort of a situation. There are pork processing plants now that are shut down. So the situation with pork is much like everything else. Poultry and eggs. As I said, in San Francisco, they've just instituted rationing on how many eggs you can buy at the same time. And while they were blaming this from WAPO, while they were blaming this on stress baking, the real indications are that there are tremendous impacts to the poultry side of the house as well. Chicken plants are closing. Poultry processors are closing. Here's one in Delaware that shut down. Here is the Empire Kosher with their chicken processing plant shutting down for 2 weeks. So it's across the entire supply chain. Another chicken plant here, the Purdue workers that went on strike because they were saying we're afraid of this virus and they're not taking enough steps to keep us safe. So every aspect of food production right now is being affected, and we are walking into food shortages. And of course, the fact that we don't have the ability to move enough chicken feed and livestock feed around to keep these animals around, or have workers at some of those hog farms, it takes a lot of staff to keep all of those animals fed and running. And those staff are calling in sick or are quarantined. So food production right now is just it's a travesty. And the writing is absolutely crystal clear on the wall right now that we are wandering into food shortages. Now, this is a really difficult message to receive, but it is clear what we need to do. We need to start growing our own food. We need to stock up on food now while we can, just like the Chinese that are panic buying. Before that comes here, we have a brief window of opportunity to go to the stores, break those quarantine rules if you must, and stock up on what you can, because the picture is not a rosy one. Now, given that, and particularly given that the weapon that the powers that be are using to effect all of these shutdowns is fear, I wanted to spend some time on a different story here. This is a two-part video now. We're switching to the second part. If their weapon is, and it is, and it has been for some time, fear, then the most effective countermeasure is hope. Because when you're hopeful, well, you're not as afraid, are you? You've got hope for tomorrow. And so I wanted to really indulge in this countermeasure today. Now that we've delivered some of this critical information about the imminent shutdowns and the timeline for when those goods are going to disappear from shelves, straight from DHS and FEMA, let's now shift our focus to what gives us hope and to what we can do for a more hopeful tomorrow. Because the news is all about, right now, confirmed deaths. And so I want to share some confirmed lives. Here, within my sphere of influence, within where I can control, what I can do to improve my situation. I've got some confirmed lives. This week I have 6 baby little chicks that were hatched from my own birds, from my own flock. I caught them either trying to help each other out of their shelves or maybe just get a head up on the pecking order. But this is new life. These are going to be laying hands for me, and these guys give me hope. It also reminds me just how helpless you are when you come out of that shell at first. It's crazy. Similarly, confirmed lives. I have 8 baby little rabbits that were born yesterday, and they're doing well with their mama. It's her first litter, so it's a little bit touch and go. Rabbits aren't always on top of that first litter like you would think instinctively they would be, so we've had to sort of coax her to do some of the right things, but that's going well. She caught me completely by surprise. She wasn't showing, she wasn't nesting, but really thrilled to have these confirmed lives. It's enough confirmed death. They give me hope. Like the chicks that are born and sort of clueless for a bit, these baby rabbits, I mean, they're totally helpless. They still have their eyes closed. And these are a reminder of just how crazy birth is. What a difficult transition it can be between one reality into a next reality. How scary that must be when you wonder, what's on the other side of this shell? What's going to happen when I get born into this new world? Because there's definitely scary things out there. There's big monsters and food shortages, and God only knows what I'm going to face in this new reality. But there's also a whole new world and an infinite set of new opportunities that were not there before. And that's where we are now, folks. We are entering a new reality. And there's no going back in that shell. There's no being unborn into the way things used to be. So we need to embrace this new reality, and we need to get on it. You and I have big roles to play here. So let's do this. A couple other things that I'm growing that give me hope. The potatoes are so easy to grow. I did a video about potato bags and how you can keep a rotation running in these grow bags and just churn out a constant supply of potatoes or whatever your growing season where you are affords you. But certainly, relatively easy to produce enough potatoes every year to be able to knock off 1 or 2 dinners per week of, you know, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, shepherd's pie, all sorts of potato things you can make. Gnocchi, right? There's different ways to dress up potatoes and still keep it interesting, but fundamentally provide in very little space, because this is the most calorie-dense crop you can grow, food for your family. And you know how good it feels when you check off 2-3 nights a week, when you just know that you're taken care of going forward? It's fantastic. All of these things no longer bother you, and you find hope for tomorrow. And that's what I'm hoping you can find in this video, is motivation from what's actually going on out there, from that data and that timeline, and then also hope. Squash is another one that's growing really well for me. A lot of squash, winter squash especially, can keep for an especially long time. I mentioned this dude, the Hopi pale white squash, which is huge. I've already fed, we've done 2 dinners off of this guy already, and plenty more to go, and plenty of seeds in there to grow another season and to share the wealth. I've got a couple folks coming for seeds already. This particular one, in fact, I kept in my, you know, kept it nice and cool and dry, and it has kept for 8 or 9 months now. And that's the kind of thing, especially if you've got a short growing season, that feels really good to know that you can grow something that you'll be able to eat deep into the winter or even in spring while you're still waiting for that next crop to come out. This bridges the hunger gap that we've talked about in the past. And that gives me hope. It does. I'm growing lots of sunchokes. It's another thing that I can just, it's like potatoes. You grow them, and then when they're ready, you can harvest them. Or you can leave them in the ground and come back for them later. Because if you do harvest them, you need to use them. They'll rot if you don't eat them within a certain amount of time. But the answer to that is you just leave them in the ground until you're good and ready to use them. And then you come dig them up and cook them up. Or in this case, yesterday I went out and I harvested a bunch of them and cut them up into very small pieces. Because one of the things about, I mean, a lot of people consider sunchokes, Jerusalem artichokes, invasive, because they grow so well from even the smallest little tubers that you tend to leave behind. So this is one of those things where you can pull out a great harvest and then just leave one or two little dudes down there, and that will be sure to grow you another crop next year. That is abundance. And that gives me hope. So sunchokes is another one. There's lots of others, but I'm going to stop there for now. What gives you hope? What is it that you're growing that makes you just feel great, feel the abundance, and feel grateful for it? I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, iceagefarmer@protonmail.com, or leave a comment below. But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, is this question: what can you do today to give yourself more hope for tomorrow? Think about that question, and then go do it. After all, isn't that what prepping has been about this entire time? Is that there was an uncertain future, and we needed to make sure that we provided for our families, and that we grew resilient communities to endure the reality we now find ourselves emerging into. And unlike those rabbits who still have their eyes closed, we have had our eyes open, and we know some of the difficulties, some that we can expect, and we know how to prepare for those. And one of those ways is to start growing your own food. So go do something that gives you more hope, because that is the best countermeasure against this weapon of fear that is being deployed at unprecedented levels right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Please share the fact that our administration is actively planning for food shortages and making arrangements, and the timeline ahead of us. China is already going into this right now. Panic buying is happening as we speak. So please prepare and spread the word, and thank you for watching. Let's go do great things.